for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Spring Camp Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 14th, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on How the Enemy Gets Ground. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
He has swallowed up Israel. You say, well, you know, that's talking about Israel, the Old Testament. I could teach a whole 2 or 3 hours to show you in the Word of God that everything that's in the Old Testament is in the New Testament. That you know, Luke said, Jesus said in Luke 25, you foolish man and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have told you. All Scripture is given, Old and New Testament, for correction and training in righteousness. And that Scripture, I don't know why I always have a hard time quoting that Scripture. But he has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all its palaces. He has destroyed its strongholds and multiplied in the daughters of Judah, mourning. Now, in Romans 9 and also in Galatians 3, it says that we're the Israel of God, that Christians are the Israel of God. And there's lots of scriptures. I just can think of two. It says if you've been baptized in Christ, you're Abraham's offspring. Lamentations 2:6, and he has violently treated his tabernacle. Are you his tabernacle? Are you the temple of the Holy Spirit? God's done this. He has violently treated his tabernacle like a garden booth, and he has destroyed his appointed meeting places. The Lord has caused to be forgotten and the appointed feast and Sabbaths in Zion, and he has despised the king and priests, and of course we're kings and priests, in the indignation of his anger. The Lord has rejected his altars, and he has abandoned his sanctuary. Now, Acts 5:24 says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. And you don't obey to be saved, but you obey because you are saved. It's a fruit of salvation. And says he has delivered into the hand of the enemy the walls of the palaces that have made a noise in the house of the Lord as in the day of the appointed feast. Now, when he's turned the walls over, that means there's no protection. There's no hedge. Isaiah 54, verse 16 says that Satan and his demons have been created by God. It says, behold, I myself have created the smith who blows the coals of fire and brings out a weapon for its work, and I have created the destroyer to ruin. Colossians 1:15. That's pretty plain. He has created the destroyer to ruin. You don't have to be afraid of the devil and his demons. Colossians 1:15 says, He is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible. Neither thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All have been created through him and for him. You know, it's kind of like if we break the law. Now, the law is love. But say we go out here in Hot Springs and we break their law. There's a judge, there's an officer, and there's a jail. And when we break God's law, there's God's the judge, the officer is a demon, and there's a spiritual prison we get put in. Colossians 1:17 says, he is before all things, and all things, he holds all things together. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Let me tell you something. You don't have to fear ISIS. You don't have to fear a mugger. You don't have to fear anything happening to you if you're walking and living and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. You're protected. It says when you're in God's refuge, the breath of the enemy is like a rainstorm against a wall. If you've ever been in a building when it's raining or rain is hitting the windows or hitting the building, it's saying, in I don't know where the scripture is, but it says that Satan's breath is like the breath of the ruthless. It's like a rainstorm against a wall. He can't get through God's hedge of protection. And so when you get the hedge down, my friend Milt, he used to say, hedge down, sick 'em. You get outside of God's refuge and you get out there and it's sick 'em. Paul said your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Psalms 41:11 says, I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me. If the enemy is beating you up, God is not pleased about something. And so instead of thinking that you've got a demon problem, find out why God's not pleased and repent of your sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Proverbs 28:18, he who walks blamelessly will be delivered. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Colossians 3:5, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. Saying all these things are idolatry. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So every sin you're living after idolatry. You can detect your idols, other ways, but anything that makes you angry when you don't have it, or if you lose it, you get angry, or somebody doesn't treat you the way you think they ought to, you get angry. If you have an idol, you fear you won't have it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. Depression, you get depressed because you look at your life, your circumstances, they don't match up to what you think they ought to be, so you take a nosedive. That's why you get depressed. It's idolatry. Colossians 3:6 says, for because of these things, this idolatry, the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. Ephesians 5:3 says, but sexual immorality or any impurity or greed must not be named among you as proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, but which are not from God, but rather giving of thanks. For you know this with certainty, that no sexually immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater will have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And so when we are in idolatry, it brings the wrath of God. And I want you to see in just a minute that the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. Ephesians 2:1 says, for you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air is the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience. That's pretty clear. And so wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. Now there's two stories in 1 Chronicles 21 and 2 Samuel 24 gives the same account of how David counted Israel. And because he counted Israel, God got angry. I don't know why he got angry. Maybe it was a pride thing, the reason he counted. But God sent a pestilence and killed thousands of people because of David's sin. And so in 1 Chronicles 21, it says, now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. And if you've got your Bible, look both places, hold it both places. And then in 2 Samuel 24, it says, now again the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and it incited David to go number Israel. And so one place it tells you it was Satan, and the next place it tells you it was the anger of the Lord that incited David. And so the wrath of God is carried out by the powers of darkness. And then there's the tree cutters. Matthew 7:18, it says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. Psalms 1, and this is the Old Living Bible translation, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the place of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and day and night he meditates on the Word of God, and he's like a tree planted along a riverbank, always bearing luscious fruit each season without fail, and his leaf will never wither, and everything he does will prosper. So he's trees, we're trees, and this is a forest of trees. All of us are in here. And so God says when we don't produce good fruit, we get cut down, and the tree cutters are the demons that cut down the tree. Jeremiah 46, verse 2 says, its sound moves along like a serpent, for they move on like an army and come to her as woodcutters with axes. They have cut down her forest, declares the Lord. Surely it will no more be found, even though they are now more numerous than locusts and without number. And so locust is another type and shadow of demons. And it will come about in that day. Now, and this is in Isaiah 14:3. We know this hasn't happened yet. It says, it will come about in that day when the Lord gives you rest from your pain and turmoil, which you have in harsh service, which you have been enslaved. So we know that day hasn't come yet. It says, but in that day, you will take up this taunt against the king of Babylon, which is the type of Satan, and say how the oppressor has ceased, how fury has ceased. We know that hadn't happened yet. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of rulers, which used to strike this people with unceasing strokes, which subdued the nations in anger and unrestrained persecution. Now, we know that hasn't happened yet. But at the end of the age, it says the whole earth is quiet and at rest. They break forth into shouts of joy. Now, the trees are getting happy. It says, even the cypress trees rejoice over you, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since you, king of Babylon, were laid low, no tree cutter comes up against us. There's other places you can read that. Proverbs 24 says, I passed by the field of a certain sluggard, and his stone wall was broken down. In other words, there were his hedge. When you're in Psalms 91, you have a hedge of protection around you. And so this man was a sluggard, and his stone wall was broken down. And if you've had a garden with the walls down, rabbits eat it, deer eat it, things eat your food. So this garden, this man was a sluggard. It says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber, and your want like an armed man. In Luke 13, Jesus gives a parable of a man who had a vineyard, and he came for looking for fruit in that vineyard. He couldn't find any fruit, so he tells the vineyard keeper, cut it down. And so the vineyard keeper says, well, no, Lord, just leave it alone and let me dig around it and put fertilizer, and maybe next year if it doesn't produce fruit, then you cut it down. And see, that's what happens. If we're supposed to bear fruit for the Lord, and if we don't, we get cut down. And a lot of people have been given terminal sentences, death sentences, because they've been fruitless people that have not produced good fruit for the Lord. And so the question is, if I've been diagnosed that I've got a terminal disease and I'm dying, the question is, if God heal me, would I go back to being a couch potato, or would I go back and bear fruit for the Lord? And you see, if I'm just going to go back to the way I was, hey, what reason would God heal me when he says, I'm going to cut you off and burn you and throw you in the fire? And so, anyway, in Isaiah 5, this scripture in Luke 13 was taken out of Isaiah 5. It says, let me sing to you, my well-beloved, a song of his beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill, and he dug all around it and removed its stones and planted it the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the middle of it, and he hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected to produce good grapes. So that's a picture of us being fruit-producing or not fruit-producing. In this case, this vineyard was not producing fruit. It only produced worthless ones. And now God says, so now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, so there's no hedge, no protection, the wall's down. And when the wall's down, it's thick'em. So the only protection we have is to stay under Psalms 91. It said, it'll remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. Kind of sounds like cancer. I'm not saying it is, but being consumed means to be eaten, and that's what cancer does to you. I will break down its wall, and it will become a trampled ground. I'll lay it waste and not prune it or hoe it, but briars and thorns will come up. I'll charge the clouds to rain no rain upon it. Now, in John 15, it says if you bear fruit, he prunes you so that you can produce more fruit, right? Here, the judgment is no pruning, no Holy Spirit, no rain, no pruning, and no good fruit. It says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah is delightful plant. Then he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, behold, a cry of distress. Now, the word distress, you could translate into stress today. Many of you have gone to the doctor and said, doctor, you know, something's wrong with me. The doctor said, I can't find anything wrong with you. It's just stress related. That just tells me the hedge is down somewhere. You know, it says that because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor no plague will come near my dwelling. Amen. So there's a plague in my dwelling. And let me tell you, this is a plague. And so I know that someplace I got something sticking out from out from under God's refuge. Because the Word of God said he sent his Word to heal me. And so it's a process. And it's the hardest thing in the world. The walk of faith is not an easy thing to do. But I'd rather go out that way in a blaze of glory, hadn't you? Is walking, stumbling around trying to walk after God. Thank God for his grace. But behold, a cry of distress. So you see people we know and love, they're living under distress all the time. Everything's distress. Everything's stress. And it'll end up killing us if we don't repent. And so, And Deborah, would you already turn that one on the next one, the hedge. In Ecclesiastes 10:8, it says, he who digs a pit will fall in it, and a serpent may bite him who breaks through the wall. I'll just wait. I'll just go on. But when you, I'm sorry, I had to turn that off. So God removes the hedge when we don't produce fruit. When we live in sin, he removes the hedge. So we need to keep the hedge up. Go ahead and do the next one. Let me just say this. When we're under God's refuge, other words for it is present your body to God as a living sacrifice. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow the Lord. Walk the highway of holiness. Those are just some words for living under God's refuge. And so, this Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such, there's no law. When you're under God's refuge, there's no law. You step outside of God's refuge, and the demons are the executors of God's law. You break God's law, here come the demons. Okay, go ahead. Here, go ahead. Okay, go to the next one. The serpent bites you when you break the hedge, and the serpent's the powers of darkness. In Matthew 5, and Carla alluded to these scriptures, as the things that block deliverance is holding unforgiveness and anger. You know that, I think it's one, after a person has an angry outburst, I think he's three times more apt to have a stroke or heart attack within 5 minutes of him throwing a temper tantrum. But it says in Matthew 5, make friends quickly with your opponent while you're with him on the law. Unless he turns you over to the judge, the officer throws you in prison and you'll stay in a spiritual prison. Ephesians 4 says you have till sundown to deal with your sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger because you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Never go to bed angry. You know, I was telling David, you know, I've never been angry at God in my whole life. And I attribute this to when I was a little girl, my daddy would say something that would be so cruel and hurt my feelings, and I would always go, before I went to bed, I'd go and ask him to forgive me, even if he was the one that was being mean. And I had a good daddy. But I'm sounding like he's mean, but a few times he could be really cruel. When I'd start gaining weight, you know, he hated fat, so he would let me know that. But I would always ask my daddy to forgive me, and I know that's why I've never been angry at God. And I thank God for my daddy. I had a good daddy. But I got saved reading the Bible, and when I read the New Testament and it said, don't let the sun go down in your anger, I had a fear of letting the sun go down in my anger. And I remember once my husband and I had a disagreement, and I wouldn't dare go to bed without getting my heart right. But I was wanting him to apologize, because this time I thought it was his fault. And so I was upstairs, and he was downstairs in the den. And I said, Lord, it's not fair. Why do I always have to be the one that says I'm sorry? And this time it's his fault. Lord said, yeah, this time it is his fault, but you've got a pride problem. You just need to go ahead and have to humble yourself. So I'd go down and I'd say, okay, honey, let's get things right. I apologize. Would you please forgive me? And he'd say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. You just keep on doing the same old thing, then I get mad all over again. I don't want to go back and live my life over, and I might not make it. I've overcome a whole lot of stuff. And so it says in Matthew 5 that if you don't make friends with your opponent while you're with him on the way, that your opponent will turn you over to the judge, the officer, and you'll be thrown in prison. And it says you stay in there until you pay up the last sin. And then Matthew 18 says when you don't forgive, you're turned over to the tormentors. And that word tormentors means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. And so when we have that hurt down in our heart, that's the vexation. It says in Ecclesiastes 11:10, it says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. You've got to deal with all the things that have hurt you. And, you know, I used to have a friend, and she wouldn't deal with it. She'd sweep it under the rug. And when you do that, it stays under the rug. It becomes a festering sore, and it'll manifest in pain and every other kind of thing. So you've got to deal with all of your stuff. You've got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Most people don't know to deal with their stuff. And so that's one thing I'm thankful for this place, is because a pure word comes forth from the teachers at this camp, because they do teach repentance. And I can say every teacher that Meryl has really loves the Lord with their whole heart. I'm really thankful for that. So I want you to stand up and ask the Lord, if you've got secret sin, if you've got sin you've not confessed. God says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And to forgive me, I'm sitting on my judge's bench, and I get off my judge's bench. I walk over to God's courtroom where he's on the throne, and he's the judge of the universe, and I bring the people that have hurt me and my mother and father, because the people that hurt you in the present are probably the same people that your mother and daddy did the same thing. This is not to blame mother and daddy, but it's to take accountability for our wrong responses to our mother and father. And so put them in God's courtroom and shut the door, rest your case, knowing that vengeance is his. God says he will pay. The law of sowing and reaping will catch him. By our standard of measure, it's measured back. More is the same thing, later than the same. So anybody that mistreats you, if they don't deal with it, it's going to come back to them. More the same thing and later. And so we have to forgive. And the Lord taught me how to forgive. I had lunch with a girl, and we got a disagreement. And she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. And the next day, I was still arguing with her in my head. And I said, well, Lord, she said she was sorry. And I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. Forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I started saying, I forgive my mother for this and this and this. And then it was totally gone. Now, if you can quickly forgive, it's not a hard issue. But if you say the words, I forgive, and then tomorrow you're still raggering on in your head, or a week later or a month later it's coming back, it's a mother-daddy issue. It's something that happened to you in your childhood, and this turkey in the present is doing the very same thing that your mother and daddy did or didn't do. And so it was over. Now, if you can quickly forgive, it's not a hard issue. So many times somebody may say, well, Deborah, forgive me for what I said yesterday. Well, what did you say, Jerry? Well, I don't even remember. That's not a hard issue, but it's a choice. You don't have to want to or think it's right. You choose to forgive because you love Jesus more than you love that demon of unforgiveness. And do yourself, when you forgive, you're giving yourself a gift. So Lord, pray with me. Lord, search my heart and show me every person I haven't forgiven. Show me every place the hedge is down on me. show me the truth that sets me free. Convict me of sin. Lord, I want to repent. I want to present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. I give you my will, that your will might prevail. In the name of Jesus, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Where do I have the hedge down? Where am I in sin? I ask, Lord, for you to show me and to repent of whatever the Lord shows you, and then sit down when you're through repenting, and then we'll do the deliverance. You can sit down when you're through repenting. Lord, I want to get on your potter's wheel. Everybody vocalize your repentance. Let me pray with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive my parents for loving me based on my performance. Forgive me for believing a lie that I have to be perfect, that I have to perform. Lord, you just want me to yield to you. Lord, I get on your potter's wheel. I yield to you. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. I offer up to you my members as instruments of righteousness. I forgive my mother and father that they were not under your refuge, and I was born outside of your refuge. Lord, thank you that your name is a strong tower. You said the righteous can run into it and are safe. And now, Lord, I run into your refuge. And I thank you and praise you. Lord, I bring all your children under your refuge now. Those that have prayed that prayer, I bring them under your refuge. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for being afraid of the devil and thinking that he's more powerful than you are. Forgive me for being afraid of him. Forgive me for not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Forgive me. Everybody pray. Forgive me for not abiding under your shadow and protection. God, forgive me for not believing the Old Testament is for today. Thank you that you said all Scripture is given for reproof and training and correction in righteousness. God, forgive me. I've been a prisoner in misery and chains because I've rebelled against you. Forgive me for rebellion in the name of Jesus. God, forgive me for spurning your counsel. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you. Forgive me for not walking in love. Lord, thank you that you sent your word to heal me. Forgive me for not having an intimate relationship with you. Forgive me for not being in your word. Forgive me for not having a prayer life. I forgive my dad and mom that they didn't want to talk to me. And that's kept me from thinking you want to talk to me. And so, Lord, I repent. And, Lord, forgive me for living after the flesh. The serpent's been biting. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for breaking a hedge. Forgive me for not producing fruit for you, which has caused you to take down the hedge. Forgive me for being like that sluggard, that a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of rest, and my poverty has come like a vagabond and my need like an armed man. God, forgive me for digging a pit, breaking a hedge. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for letting the demons beat up on me. And Lord, thank you that you don't want me to live under the oppression of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, that you want to back off the demons. God, show me why the devil's been doing a number on me. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to remove the Chaldeans. Everybody pray. Remove the Chaldeans from me, Lord. Thank you that you've appointed them to judge. Thank you that they can't touch me under your refuge in the name of Jesus. Thank you that I can live under blessings with holy angels ministering to me in the name of Jesus. And Lord, forgive me for worshiping false gods. I ask you to take Joel's army off me and the northern army and the army from the north. Remove them, Lord. As I yield to you, I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for walking in stubbornness of my own heart and rebellion, which would cause me to be taken captive, the flock of the Lord to be taken captive. God, in Jesus' name, I break off yokes of bondage. I forgive myself. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for rebellion. God, I ask you not to let the enemy swallow me up. Forgive me for idolatry. Forgive me for all the things I've made an idol. Forgive me for pretending obedience, hating you, not loving you with my whole heart, not seeking you. Forgive me for rebellion that's caused a cruel messenger to come turn against me. God, I just ask you to remove the judgments off me that's come on through disobedience to your voice and your commandments in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I forgive my forefathers. I take accountability for whatever happened to me and the loins of my forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for not trusting you as my healer. Forgive me for trusting the world, thinking that they can help when, Lord, only you can help me. Because you wound and you heal. You make sick and you heal in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, I just take up the shield of faith and I quench all the fiery missiles of the evil one. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness. I forgive every person you've shown me. Forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. God, forgive me for enabling people in Jesus' name. God, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to move in my life. I pray that from this day forward, my life will be different, that my life will be changed, that I'll go home a changed person. God, I ask you to remove your wrath from me, remove the tree cutters that have been cutting me down for not producing fruit in the name of Jesus. I break the power of death over each person in Jesus' name. Forgive me for spiritual adultery, spiritual harlotry, loving anything more than I love you. Forgive me for compromise and double-mindedness and anger and bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for idolatry, sexual sin. Forgive me for sexual immorality. Forgive me for adultery, fornication, homosexuality. God, forgive me for bestiality, reviling, slander, gossip, lying, stealing. God, forgive me for disobedience that's caused Satan to work in me because of disobedience. God, the enemy has been shouting triumph over me. Show me why, what you're not pleased about. Forgive me for not walking blamelessly. Forgive me for trusting in my own heart and not walking wisely. God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for passion, impurity, envy, evil desire, greed, heresy, witchcraft, sorcery, double-mindedness. God, forgive me for greed, jealousy, envy, lies, lying, unbelief, and doubt. Sexual immorality, God, I repent of these things. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I forgive each person that you've shown me. I take them and put them in your courtroom. I forgive my mother and father for doing the same thing to me that these people in the present have done. In Jesus' name, Lord, I take accountability. Pray with me all the way back to Adam and Eve, whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers. Lord, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the generational decrees of the forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses. I break soul ties with my forefathers, every person I've sinned with, every person who's hurt me or disappointed me. Call back my soul and my human spirit from them. I cleanse, sanctified, and made whole by the blood of Jesus. Send back their souls and spirits to them. Exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now every demon that came in through the sins they confessed have to go now. I command the sword to go in the name of Jesus. I command the Chaldeans to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command the northern army to go. The army from the north, I command you to go. I command Joel's army to go in the name of Jesus. I command Satan, I command you to spit them up in Jesus' name. Let them go. I take them out of the prisons they've been put in. All that place of captivity, that spiritual prison they've been put in through being swallowed up. Come out now in Jesus' name. I break the power of the bands. I break the power of the chains and the fetters in the name of Jesus. I break the yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. Come out now, all fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, self-pity, martyr spirit. Come out now, all antichrist spirits, all self-hatred, self-bitterness. unforgiveness of self, I command you to go. All rebellion, antichrist spirit, all legalism, all performance, in Jesus' name, come out now, in Jesus' name. All fear, anxiety, and stress, come out now, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to rebuild the hedge. The wall of Jerusalem is another way of saying the hedge. The wall of Jerusalem was down because of sin and reproach. But Lord, deliverance is rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem in the name of Jesus. Lord, we rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. Lord, we declare in Jesus' name that you will raise up the former devastations of many generations in Jesus' name. For their shame, you'll give them a double portion. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. All spirits of adultery, fornication, sensuality, prostitution, homosexuality, all spirits of sodomy, sodomites, all dog spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name of Jesus. All unforgiveness, all torture, torment, sickness, distress, disease, cancer, come out now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Heart attack, heart failure, come out in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. We just take the sword of the Spirit and we cut you loose in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. We break the power of lewdness, lustfulness, wanton spirit, sexual perversion, the demons that have come in through pornography, in Jesus' name, come out. Spirits of lust and masturbation, we break your power in the name of Jesus. We break soul ties with the pornography. Every person they sexually sin with, come out now. In Jesus' name, we break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel released, put your hands and sing with. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place. Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Come to the prayer meeting in the morning at 6. Bless you. Thank you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.